Luke chapter 6, in Luke chapter 6, we're continuing on in our series on the parables of Christ and talking about kingdom secrets. And in Luke chapter 6, he is going to talk to us today about two foundations, about how we build our lives, how we build our homes, how we build our families. And so if you're a parent in here today, you're a husband, you're a wife, you are a man or a woman, or you're breathing air today. That should be everyone. We have something here that the Lord desires us, I think, to begin to hear. I love traveling. I don't get to do as much as I once did, but I have a son that lives in New York City, and every time we go to visit, or I'm in New York, we go to the 9/11 memorial. Now, when I talk about 9/11, September 11, 2001, those of you who have a little bit of age on you, you can remember probably where you were on that day and what was going on. The memorial is very, very moving. I was doing some reading about the World Trade Centers, kind of refreshing my memory, because as I've gone through that now a couple of times, I thought I remembered something about the foundations, and lo and behold, I was right. As I was going back through that, the World Trade Centers themselves, not just the two towers, but that entire area, you know, there's like World Trade Center 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. There's a lot of buildings that go into that. The World Trade Center was built on an old landfill. So if you can think about the landfill here in Murfreesboro, it was immensely larger than that. And they had to go in and remove out all of the landfill so that they could begin to build that area. Well, what ended up happening, because it was a landfill, the ground was very unstable. Not only was the ground unstable, but if you've been to the 9/11 memorial, you'll recognize and remember the Hudson River is right up to it. And so there was an engineering feat that had to happen, that as they were digging out, how do they keep the river from rushing in to what they're trying to construct? And it was an engineering feat. They had to go 70 feet down. For those of you who are really quick, you're builders, that's about 5 to 6 stories. So when you go into the 9/11 memorial, the foundation is still there. They had to dig down. You can still see the walls where it holds back water. You can also still see the original foundation stones. So they ended up building what was a reverse bathtub, basically. You know, usually when you have a bathtub, you're trying to put water in it to hold water. They built a huge square to keep water out, and then they began to build the foundation stones. So much so, that foundation is so strong that when two planes flew into it and it crumbled, the foundation is still there intact today. It has had some repairs, but the foundation itself is still intact. When Amy and I lived in Europe, we had the opportunity to it was a really unique thing. We were able to travel to Italy, and we went to a medieval city that many of you may know, and some of you have probably even been reading about it because it's been in the news here lately. Venice, Italy. Venice was built in late 1400s, early 1500s, and the way that it was built was on wood pylons. It's over a swamp, a swampy area, and they would take large tree trunks and they drove them into the ground until they could hit something that was of stability. And then they would build a platform, they would pour concrete on it, and upon that is what the city was built upon. Now, when Amy and I had the opportunity to go, we happened to go in there in the evening time before the tide had come in. And so we were able to walk across St. Mark's Square with no problem, dragging luggage, all that kind of stuff. We get up the next morning, there was no way we could even get into St. Mark's Square because it was completely flooded from the ocean water coming in. Today, engineers, oceanographers, those who study building, those who are in concrete management are trying to figure out how to save Venice. People who study hydrology let us know, and the Earth's climate, that by the year 2100, if there's nothing that changes, the city of Venice will be completely underwater, because it is sinking and into the ground. because it was not a stable foundation. This is a literal picture, I believe. You remember what a parable is, don't you? For those of you who've been with us the last couple of weeks, a parable is an earthly story that speaks about a spiritual principle that God wants us to begin to see that Jesus told. Well, I think that's what we are seeing here about a very unstable, a very not a well-built home or not a well-built city. Jesus is speaking here, and he's going to lay out two things today. He's going to lay out that if you want to have a well-built home, a well-built life, a well-built city, it has to be built by his blueprint and on a solid bedrock. By his blueprint and on solid bedrock. So I want to read today Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 46 through verses 49. And if you would you open up your Bibles and stand as we read the Word of God, please? Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 46 through 49. Jesus is speaking, and he says this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Now, this story probably maybe sounds familiar to you, especially if you've been around here for the last couple of summers. It sounds like the story in the Sermon on the Mount. And many people believe that Luke chapter 6 is a retelling of the Sermon on the Mount. But there are also a whole group of theologians and commentators who would say, no, this is an entirely different message. It has some of the same elements in it. You don't see all of them. This is more along what's called the Sermon on the Plain. And the way that they get to that is by this. In fact, this won't be on the screen. Why don't you look in your passage? You can see in Luke chapter 6, verse 17, it says that Jesus had been on the mountain all night and he had been praying. And then he came down to a level spot, the plain. And it says that he began to teach them. Verse 17, 18, and 19 says that as he came down, he was surrounded by a great crowd of disciples, not only a great crowd of disciples, but a lot of onlookers. And it describes these onlookers as people from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. They were from Tyre. They were from Sidon. It says that they were even people who were looking for a blessing. They were looking for healing. They were looking for cleansing. Some of them thought that he was a great and mighty teacher because he didn't teach like the others that they had seen. This was a man who had authority. Some of them even thought, this may be the Messiah. This may be the Lord. And then verse 20, notice what verse 20 says. Verse 20 says that then he lifted his eyes and he spoke to his disciples. He spoke to his disciples. And as he spoke to his disciples, he began to preach a very challenging message to them. Now, as he's speaking to the disciples, you got to remember there were others who were around him also. I mean, 17, 18, and 19 says there was a lot of people there, but he began to speak to his disciples. And the message that he was preaching to them, the challenging sermon that he began to talk to them about, is what does it look like to truly belong to the kingdom of God? What does it look like to be a true follower of his? Which leads us, go down to verse 46, the passage that I've just read. He starts that passage out. Remember, he's speaking to his disciples. There's a crowd around him, and he says this to them. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" Now, the repetition here of Lord, Lord, this isn't like he's just trying to get their attention. This is like a profession of faith. This is saying you're following me as one. You're calling me Lord. You know what Lord means, don't you? Like boss. If you've been around here for a while, you've heard me say that as followers of Jesus Christ, those who've submitted our lives to Jesus, those who are trusting in his work, not our merit that we just sung about, not our merit, but his merit. We sung about his merit. Those of us who are trusting in him, when we come to the cross, that means boss. Cross means boss for the follower of Jesus Christ. And he looks at them and he says, hey, disciples, onlookers are listening in. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet you don't do what I ask you to do? You don't follow my words. You see, if I'm your Lord, if Jesus is your Lord, that means he's the object of your worship. He's the object of your devotion. He's the object of your worship. What he says to you, we follow along. And you know what the unique thing is here is that Jesus is not talking to the fringe people. He lifted up his eyes and he spoke to his disciples. He wasn't talking to the fringe. He was talking to the faithful. He was talking to the people who show up every week. He's talking to the people who were singing the songs. He's talking to the people who were serving. He's talking to the people who were following with him. They were his disciples. And he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what it is that I ask you to do? You know, I think that would be true in our day and time today also, don't you? That there are a lot of people who want to identify. They don't mind taking the name of Christ, but the reason they take the name of Christ is because they think, maybe I'll get a blessing. Maybe this is going to be, I'm going to identify with the right people. You know, this is what I've always done. I remember growing up and this is what we did. Somebody told me this would be the next right thing to do, but they're not interested necessarily in obeying what it is that the Word of God has to say. I want it for my kids. Listen, the world is messed up. It's crazy. I want my kids to have a nice, stable place with good people. But I need you to know, those who call him Lord, Lord, those who respond to him faithfully follow out what it is that his word has to say to us. So what is it? What is his blueprint? What is the blueprint that he desires us to see? Well, he describes this in verses 47 and 48. The story is this, basically, that there's two men, two people, they're going to build a house. In fact, they're probably on the same cul-de-sac. They're probably on the same type of ground we're going to see. Their houses look very similar. In fact, not only do their houses look similar, there's going to be the same storm is going to come through. But before there was someone who had a better engineer, they had a better drawing, they had a better blueprint, and they were the ones whose house survived. This great storm that came through, the one that blew through at night, the rains came, it says the floods happened. In fact, when the floods rose, it says the stream broke against the houses. It says when the daylight came to be, and the clouds were gone, only one house remained. Only one house remained. Same ground, same look, had nice windows, great curb appeal. Everything looked good from the outside looking at it, but it's gone. One of the houses was wiped away. Notice what verse 49 says. Verse 49 says that the house that fell was built on the ground without a foundation. It was built on the ground. Now, guys, specifically ladies, it sounds crazy, doesn't it? None of us would go out and just like, let's find some 2x4s. I don't know, get a 2, whatever you got to, just pour concrete on the ground. I mean, we would say, listen, you got to dig down, right? You've got to have some rebar in there. You've got to have some thing. You got to make sure this says they just went out, built a house with no foundation. Now, this would have been understandable. Jesus is teaching to the people in an area near the Sea of Galilee. Some of you have been to that area and you've seen that around that area of the Sea of Galilee, remember that there is a beachy, sandy area, more of a muddy silt that happens, that in the summer, when the sun hits and bakes it, it becomes very hard. Do you remember the parable we talked about 2 weeks ago about the solid ground, that hard, rough path? It becomes sunbaked. Well, yeah, that's what ends up happening around the Sea of Galilee. But if you dig down just a scoop, you hit the sandy soil that just below is shifting. There's nothing solid about it. So that when the rains came down and the water rose again, rose from under the house, it says the house collapsed. In verses 47 and 48, Jesus gives the blueprint. Notice what he says here. He says, everyone who comes to me, I would circle that. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words, I would circle hears my words, and does them, I would circle those. You come to me, you hear my words, and you do them. I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Now, I need to make, the word the rock there is not one. It's not like one big rock. You're not going to build one big, you're not going to build a house on one rock. It's talking about bedrock. It's I've hit rock. You know, that's what happens here. We start to build houses. We're trying to get all of the rock out so that you can have a nice level ground so that you can build something. They had to make sure they had the rock so that they could build foundational stones on it. Set it down so that when the rains did come, it didn't wash away is what the scripture tells us. Jesus says, listen, before this house was framed, before the windows were set, before the cabinets were hauled in, they dug deep so that there was a strong foundation. Parents sitting in here right now, our world is shifting sand. I'm not going to name all the different things. There's political, there's social, there's cultural, there's financial, there's all kinds of things today that are coming at your families that is shifting sand today that if you build your life on it, it will be washed away. Jesus said that the one who built by his plan, the builder who was wise, dug down deep and found the rock. Found the place, the solid ground to begin to build their house on. They looked for something that was immovable, something that was strong, something that was mighty. And the Word of God is that immovable rock. Jesus Christ, first and foremost, the scripture says, all who come to me, those who come to me, he is immovable. Those who hear my word, his immovable word. Think through history of all the cataclysmic catastrophes, tragedies. What has stood strong? The word of God. I'm going to ask you to think through those things in our own lives, in our own history, in the last 50 years, the things that have happened, whether it is financial, whether it is wars, what is the thing that has stood strong throughout the time? The Word of God. I'm going to ask you to think about your own life personally. I want to ask you to think about your own life personally. Think about the challenges, the things that have, you realize, don't you? You've heard me say this several times. I want to repeat this. You're either in a storm right now, you're either coming out of a storm, or you're headed into a storm. Some of you are going, I thought this was parent-child dedication. What are you doing? I'm trying to prepare you as parents. I'm trying to prepare us as families that the storms are coming. Whatever it is, there is something that will be coming to you, or you're walking in it right now, or you've just come out of it. And what is immovable is what the Lord Jesus says to us. For some of you in here who do not follow Jesus Christ, you're going, I don't know if I buy that. Well, that would be understandable because you don't follow Christ and you've not seen this tested in your life. There are some of you in here, many of you in here, who have followed Jesus Christ, and the very thing that has gotten you through the storms of life, through the issues that have come what may, has been his word. Because it is immovable. It is the rock on which we stand. Jesus Christ, the living word, the living rock that we've cast ourselves on, nothing that we can do to earn our salvation, no good work, no giving money, no helping enough old ladies across the street. no serving enough in a children's ministry, no moving across the world is going to save us. It is only the blood of Jesus Christ, who freely laid his life down on a cross. Jesus, God's one and only Son, who came to this earth. God, at the right time, sent his one and only Son so that he might live a perfect life, perfectly live, do something that we could never do, die a death that we could not die to pay a debt that we could never pay. And for those of us who have trusted in him, do you realize how we live out this blueprint on the bedrock of the Word of God? Do you realize the testimony that can be to those who stand back and go, I don't know how we're going to get through this, but I know them, I know that person, and I need to go talk to them because they've gone through the same things that I've gone through, and yet their life has stood strong. I'm going to go off script here for a minute. I think the church, believers, somehow have bought the lie that if you come to Jesus Christ, we're going to be healthy, wealthy, wise. There won't be any diseases coming. There won't be any death happening. We've bought this pie in the sky. I need you to know that our world is full of suffering. Our world is full of suffering. It could be marital suffering, relational suffering. It can be death, disease. And though your world is changing around you all the time, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word never changes. And he says, the one who's able to survive the storm that is coming, the one who survived the storm that rose, that crashed against the house, is the one who dug deep to bedrock, the one who built his home, his life, his family, I need you to hear me, it's not cheap to build a good foundation. It's not cheap. In fact, it will cost you everything. Those of you who are building homes or you've built homes, you know how important it is. And no one ever sees the foundation, do they? But they're going to know whether or not the foundation is good. You see, this is the blueprint that God has given us, that it begins with him, hearing his word. But notice the last thing, the bedrock. Notice the bedrock here. Notice what he says here. He says that if we're going to stand the trials of the day, if we're going to stand the storms, the flood waters that are going to raise, he says your life, your home, your family has to be built on a bedrock. And what is that? Verse 47. Everyone who comes to me hears my words and does them. And does them. Everyone who comes to me, who hears my words and does them, is like the man who built the home, his home, her home, their lives, their families, on the rock. On the rock. You see, I think what ends up happening again that we fall prey to, if we're not careful, is that I go to church. Listen, I've prayed a prayer. I did a religious thing. I go to church and I do all of these things. But from noon on Sunday until maybe Sunday morning at 9, our lives don't look anything like who we say we profess. And I don't mean that like you're out selling drugs and think of the worst thing you can think of. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about, we just go about our daily life, the rest of our lives during the week, and we never think about what his word says. Listen, I've fallen into that at times. Listen, I'm not up here as the pot, what is that whole thing, pot calling the kettle black? Listen, no. This is about if we follow him, we've come to him, we're sitting in the word, then we begin to live that out. There should be an impact in our lives. This is why, this is one of the reasons. Let me tell you why. Some of you wonder why I kind of push on certain things all the time. God, why do you always ask us to get our Bible out? One, I want you to be able to see it. Why do you always ask us to, hey, grab something, write something down? One, I want you to be engaged in it. I know how hard it is to sit in this room. It starts to get warm. You're tired. You've been out late last night. You binged all kinds of Netflix, and you're like going, I just want to sleep for a few minutes. This guy won't let me. No, I want you to engage. We want you involved in a Bible study. Why? Because it's another step in digging deep. We want your lives rubbed up against someone else. We want you pouring into students. We want you pouring into kids. Why is that? Well, listen, when we come to the Lord, when we read his word, then we have to like deal with his word through the week. And then we begin to pour that back out into the lives of others. We're saying, listen, my life is dug deep on the Lord. There are parents in here who are depending on you to walk in that so that when you are learning, when you are studying, and when you're pouring back out, it's reminding to you, yes, this is who I follow. Yes, I'm in the middle of a difficult situation, but come what may, my house is standing on the rock. You see, this is about a lifestyle of a disciple, not about showing up on Sundays. This is the type of house that the Lord says will stand strong. This is what we need. This is what these parents who lined up out here, this is what they need. They need you and me pouring in what they're pouring in. Because I can tell you this, there's a whole lot of world being poured into them, those children. And we as the body come alongside them and we help to build them up as a family. This is what it looks like. This is what it means to have a solid foundation, that you're taking the blueprint and you're pouring your foundation on bedrock, something immovable. The Word of God, the brothers and sisters, the church. This is why God has called us. This is what he's asked us to do. And I want to say this. I don't know what you're building your house on today. For some of you in here, you're building your house on a lot of movable things. What my mom or dad said, I'm building my house literally towards retirement. I'm trying to make sure that I'm watching what they think of me. I'm trying to keep up this appearance. Anything that you're building your house upon other than the Word of God as a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to know will crash. It will crash. Some of you are thinking right now, really? Well, eventually, I need you to hear me. If Christ is not your Savior, your house is doomed. At the last judgment, the scripture tells us. It will be washed away. I didn't want him in this life, then he's going to give you what you want in the next life, and it will be absent of him. Eternal separation. I know it's a heavy word, but parents, men and women, this is what the Lord has called us to. Some of you today, your foundation is shaking. In fact, if you were to look around the house and look at the walls in your house, you might go, man, there's cracks in the sheetrock. And you're trying to fix it in the wrong way. You're running to a bottle. You're running to another website. You're running to another pill bottle. You're running to entertainment. You're running to food. You're running to shopping. You're running and running and running. And I need you to know that none of that will ever fix the foundation point of your life. It will only be found in Jesus Christ. He says that the blueprint for any strong home, any strong house, any strong life begins with coming to him, hearing his words and obeying them. Unless I'm misunderstood today, I need to make sure that you hear this. This isn't a try harder message. Because I need you to know you can't try hard enough. We can't do enough. You can't read your Bible enough. I have to remind you, you can't read your Bible enough, serve enough, give enough. It is only by coming to Jesus Christ, by hearing his words and obeying him. And today, for some of you in here, you know what that is? It is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. That stir in you. For some of you, the stir is, I don't agree with this. Well, I need you to know, I'm praying that the Lord will break that down. For some of you, the stir is, ooh, this sounds like something I need. The obedience of that is then you step out and you obey what it is that the Spirit's calling you to do. You come to him, all you who are burdened, all you who are heavy laden, and he will give you rest, the scripture tells us. You see, we don't obey Jesus to earn his love. We obey Jesus because we love him already. And do you know why we're even able to love Jesus? 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says that we love because he first loved us. Without him opening our heart, opening our eyes, pouring his love into us, we're unable to love. And so out of love now, we obey him. Jesus says, if you truly love me, you obey me. If you truly love me, you obey me. Today, what's your house built on? What's the foundation of your house? All throughout the scripture, we find that it's built, the foundation of our house has to be built on the word of God. On the confession that Jesus is Lord, Ephesians tells us. Father, I love you and I thank you. And God, I'm asking that in these moments today, God, would you reveal to us as individuals in this room, what are we building our house upon? What is it that we are using as material? Is it a foundation that is built on shifting sand? Or is it one that's been dug out? We're pylons, concrete pylons, heavy doses of concrete, heavy doses of rock, the rock of your word, the rock of your son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. I'm asking that today you might save people. I'm asking that today, God, you would let us return to your word. God, I'm asking that today, if there are foundations that have been feeling like they're shifting, Father, would you let them begin to repair those? I thank you that there is therefore now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Your word tells us that. So, Father, I'm asking that you would call us home. You would call us back to you. I'm asking that you would call those who don't know you to surrender their lives today. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things. Amen.